world. More information is at macfound.org.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing backup power, such as automatic standby generators and backup battery systems for businesses and homes that can be used during storm season. More at cromwellsolar.com.
It's 60 degrees in Lawrence, 61 in Topeka. It's 6:06.
From NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio. We broadcast at 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 in Junction City. Many other frequencies, too, all listed for you at our website, kansaspublicradio.org. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up in our next 30 minutes, news headlines at 6:30. At 6:36, the president's plan to punish Indiana state senators who did not support his recent redistricting push has succeeded.
There were seven incumbent Republicans up for election in the primaries last night, and nearly all of those candidates who Trump opposed lost.
Trump and his allies are spending millions to unseat those Indiana lawmakers. We'll find out if this is just a primary thing. What does it say about the upcoming general elections? Coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Watkins Museum of History, celebrating America's 250th anniversary with various museums and historic sites. Information about Finding Freedom, the Promise of 1776 in Douglas County, Kansas, at watkinsmuseum.org.
Mostly cloudy skies this evening, becoming partly cloudy overnight, lows in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 60s.
Support for KPR comes from St. Joseph, Missouri, where the Pony Express began and Jesse James met his end. More information at stjomo.com. That's stjomo.com. Produced in cooperation with Visit Missouri.
It's 60 degrees in Lawrence, 58 in Abilene, 61 in Atchison. It's 6:20, and this is KPR.
Ian.com. Lion and Judah arrived due to my foolish pride, relying on
sinful bodies like mine and a suicide. I almost This is NPR News.
The Alabama legislature has kicked off a special session on redistricting, this after the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act, removing race as a consideration for drawing district lines.
This is not just Alabama history. This is world history.
How lawmakers are debating redistricting tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR station's Morning Edition. Get you caught up on all the news from overnight, first thing in the morning.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas State University, where researchers develop science-based solutions to conserve and manage water resources. More information at k-state.edu.
News headlines are coming up next. It's 60 degrees in Lawrence. It is 59 in Emporia. The time is 6:30.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. Several Kansas schools went into lockdown today after receiving threats of violence. Rachel Schnelly has the story.
Multiple police departments, including Parsons, Fort Scott, and Chanute, received phone calls about shootings at the schools. The schools then went into lockdown. Police investigated and found the threats to be false, and call it an example of swatting. That's when false reports of violence are used to draw law enforcement. Investigations into the threats are ongoing. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Rachel Schnelly.
The family of a slain Wyandotte County jail inmate viewed body camera footage of the moments leading up to his death for the first time today. 50-year-old Charles Adair was killed last July after a sheriff's deputy knelt on his back for more than a minute. His family has filed a federal wrongful death lawsuit against Wyandotte County Sheriff Daniel Soptic and six deputies. Erica Adair, the victim's sister, said the body cam footage was, quote, devastating, but it was something her family needed to see.
We basically watched our loved one die. They knelt on his back, and clearly was breathless.
Deputy Richard Fatherly has been charged with second-degree murder in Adair's death. He's facing a preliminary hearing on May 20th. The group Veterans for Peace will hold its first Kansas chapter meeting this weekend in Topeka. The anti-war organization, founded by veterans, began in 1985, and the Kansas City, Missouri chapter started a few years later. The organizer of the Topeka chapter, Andy Morrison, had been traveling across the state line for meetings since October. He says U.S. involvement in the Iran war made him want to start a chapter in Kansas. He says Topeka community outreach is a focal point for Veterans for Peace.
We got the 250th year celebration of America coming up. Why couldn't we be seen for that? We've got Founders Fest in Gage Park. Why couldn't we be there?
Morrison wants the organization to continue to grow with more chapters in communities all across the state. Mostly cloudy skies through the evening, partly cloudy overnight with lows in the upper 30s. Sunshine expected on Thursday with highs in the upper 60s. You're listening to Kansas Public Radio.
Support.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
The old saying says there are no bad questions, but it certainly helps when a journalist working for you asks a good one.
What was it that drove that decision?
Do you still take issue with the deployment?
What is it? What's the easy way?
Did you feel like you had to be Mr. Rock and Roll all the time?
Your source for news brings knowledge and curiosity to the conversation. Find out the answers with us every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
You can hear Morning Edition tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Matthew Algio will have your local news. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 in Lawrence, 96.1 in Lawrence. Lots of other frequencies, too. You can always listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, where you will find a complete listing of all of our frequencies. Check it out when you have a moment.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated. Supporting, coordinating, and elevating Kansas Trails as key assets for outdoor recreation, community health, tourism, and rural vitality. Details at kstrails.org.
Up next, a few more minutes of All Things Considered. Then at 7:01 on your KPR One stations, we will have news headlines followed by Stardate, then 2 hours of classical music. If you're joining us on KPR 2 at 7 o'clock, you'll hear the Moth Radio Hour.
Support for KPR comes from KU's Spencer Museum of Art, presenting Street Nihonga, the art of Jimmy Tsutomu Mirakatani, featuring the largest assembly of the artist's work to date. Exhibition closes June 28th. Details at spencerart.ku.edu.
Mostly cloudy skies this evening, though it looks pretty clear here in Lawrence right now. Lows in the upper 30s tonight, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the upper 60s. It's 60 degrees in Lawrence at 10 minutes before 7.
Compare direct rates using Progressive's rate comparison tool. Customers can see options and rates side by side. More at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. And from listeners like you who donate to this NPR station.
Public radio is independent.
Public radio is resilient.
Public radio is free.
Public radio is yours.
We're still here for your right to be curious. This is NPR.
We're live. We're local. We are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1, Olsburg Junction City, 91.3. KANQ Chanute, 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from the Lead Center, where tickets are available to Friends of the Lead for 2026-27 events, including Broadway musicals Waitress, The Book of Mormon, and Legally Blonde, the musical. Details are at lead.ku.edu.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Plenty more great music coming your way here on KPR. We're going to start things off with an update of news headlines in just about 1 minute. Then we'll get the news from the heavens on Stardate. Then 2 hours of classical music at 9 o'clock, you'll hear Jazz in the Night.
Support for KPR comes from Green Lady Lounge, offering live Kansas City jazz 365 days a year till 3 a.m. Green Lady Lounge is located at 1809 Grand Boulevard, Kansas City. Information at greenladylounge.com.
Mostly cloudy skies expected overnight, lows in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high in the upper 60s. Down to the upper 40s tomorrow night, really starting to warm up on Friday, though, with highs well into the 70s. The time is 7:01, and the news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A new poll from NPR, PBS News, and Marist shows that 81% of Americans say gas prices are a strain on their household budgets, and a majority say that the economy is not working well for them personally. NPR's Domenico Montanaro has more on the political implications.
Our poll finds Democrats with a 10-point advantage on the congressional ballot test. That's when we ask who people would vote for if the congressional elections were held today in their district. 52% say a Democrat, 42% say a Republican. Democrats also have the advantage on enthusiasm. 61% say that they're enthusiastic, very enthusiastic to vote in these midterms. Just 47% of those who voted for Trump in 2024 say the same. In most years, those would be the kinds of things indicative of a pretty big election wave. That could be. It's why the Senate, for example, looks within reach for Democrats, even if it is still a reach. I mean, we'll see what happens. Nothing is guaranteed.
NPR's Domenico Montanaro reporting. In Tennessee, Republicans unveiled new congressional maps today in an effort to eliminate the state's last Democratic-held congressional seat. From member station WPLN, Mariana Bacchiao reports.
The proposal would split Memphis and Shelby County into three districts. If passed, Tennessee's nine congressional districts would all be represented by Republicans in a state where roughly a third of voters support Democrats. Tennessee's 9th Congressional District, which has historically represented Memphis in the U.S. House, would stretch from the bottom of the city to the edge of Nashville, a distance spanning nearly 300 miles. The new maps come on the heels of Indiana's primaries, where several Republicans who opposed President Trump's redistricting plan for the state lost to Trump-backed challengers. The president has urged Tennessee and other GOP-led states to redraw their maps as part of his mid-decade redistricting push. For NPR News, I'm Mariana Bacchiao in Nashville.
CNN founder Ted Turner has died at 87. He started the first U.S. superstation and owned sports teams, including the Atlanta Braves. The media mogul previously announced he had Lewy body dementia, a degenerative disease. NPR's David Folkenflik has more.
Ted Turner is perhaps best known for starting CNN.
He was a visionary, a trailblazer, a rabble-rouser, a do-gooder, and he thought there would be a market for it.
That's Eason Jordan, who rose to be CNN's chief news executive. The place operated on the cheap and on the fly.
Look, we were young and at times very shoddy, but we were the only game in town, and we did some extraordinary things.
CNN came into its own with coverage of the Challenger space shuttle explosion and the first Gulf War. In 1996, with the launch of rivals Fox News and MSNBC, Turner sold his holdings. He gave $1 billion to fund the United Nations and helped to inspire the Giving Pledge from philanthropic giants Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
This is NPR.
Stardate, May 6th. More than 1.1 billion years ago, a pair of black holes staged a violent merger. As they spiraled inward, the black holes produced an outburst of gravitational waves, ripples in space-time that rang across the universe. Detectors on Earth heard those ripples in January of last year. In fact, it was the loudest and clearest detection of merging black holes to date. Analyzing the signal has told scientists quite a bit about black holes and about the laws of gravity that govern them. The frequency and duration of the gravitational waves revealed details about the black holes. It showed that when they merged, each of them was spinning, and each was about 33 times the mass of the Sun. But the total mass after they merged was only about 62 times the Sun's mass, less than the combined weight of the individual black holes. The rest of their mass was converted to energy, mainly the gravitational waves. The aftermath of the merger was important as well. the merged black hole vibrated like a ringing bell. As it settled down, the ringing faded away. How it faded matched predictions made by general relativity, the theory of gravity introduced by Albert Einstein and refined by many others over the decades. It was the strongest evidence to date that general relativity really is the rule that governs black holes and sends gravitational waves rippling across the universe. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. So glad to be listening to music with you. We're off to Italy this hour, so let's kick it off with some Tchaikovsky, as you do, right? Now, there's a good story behind this. Well, sort of a mixed bag of a story. He had a really rough marriage. We'll just leave it at that. It's kind of a long story. But in 1879, his relationship is on the ropes. He really needs to get out of town, so he takes a trip to Rome with his brother, where he hears all kinds of Italian street songs. Being Tchaikovsky, he starts making his own music out of them while staying at the Hotel Constanzi, which is unfortunately no longer with us. It's a taste of Rome, Tchaikovsky's Capriccio Italien.
Thank you.
Eric Kunzel, leading the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra, the Capriccio Italien by Tchaikovsky. That was a fantasy piece. The fantasy, as of course you know, is a composition with its roots in improv. We're touring Italy this hour, musically speaking. Let's have British composer Madeline Dring get in on that action. Here's her Italian dance, based on a dance from Taranto in southern Italy. Taranto is in the Apulia region of Italy, which, as of course you know, is the heel of the boot. The city of Taranto is at the inside top of that heel. If you're still with me, if you can visualize that. If you've heard of Tarantella, that's a dance that came from this town. Thank you. Italian Dance, featuring Nicholas Daniel, performing on oboe. That was written by Madeline Dring, British composer. Our Italian sojourn continues. We're headed back to Rome in 60 seconds.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the LMH Health Cancer Center, offering full-service cancer care from diagnostics to treatment to recovery, all in one place. More information is available at lmh.org/cancercare. And the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline at Headquarters Kansas, offering confidential crisis counseling by phone, text, and chat to Kansans in need 24 hours a day. Online at kansas988.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 61 and fair. Wind is from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. It's 61 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Back in Rome for some more music. Think of this next piece like historical drama. It's kind of like the Les Mis of Italian music. It's by composer Giovanni Scambati. It's honoring a Roman senator named Cola di Rienzo. Rienzo's political career started out well. The goal was to redeem the city of Rome, which had fallen into disarray. He briefly achieved this. Rome got a little bit of a comeback, but then he started making questionable decisions like imprisoning innocent people and other acts of cruelty, and he was eventually assassinated by a mob. It happens. The Rome Symphony Orchestra performing Cola di Rienzo by Giovanni Scambati. Coming up, J.S. Bach's Final Partita.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Lawrence Civic Choir, presenting two spring concerts on Saturday, May 2nd and May 9th at First United Methodist Churches in Topeka and Lawrence. Ticket information at Lawrence Civic Choir's Facebook page. This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Kansas Trails Incorporated, working with communities across the state to build and care for small town paths to wide open prairie routes, connecting Kansans to the land and each other. Information at kstrails.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 61 and fair. Wind is from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. It's 61 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Paul Galbraith performing the Violin Partita No. 3 by J.S. Bach. You can play it on different instruments.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 61 and fair. Wind is from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then, tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. It's 61 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
College might be the best time to travel. Your body is invincible. You can carry everything in a backpack. You can fly standby. And you can eat whatever you want. And lots of it. I spent a whole summer soaking up theater in London. It's still the best summer of my life. His Majesty's Theater is in the Haymarket Street, just a few blocks from the National Gallery. In 1912, it staged a production of Shakespeare's Othello. This was the music. It's a summer in the West End, coming up this hour.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. President Trump is warning that the U.S. will start bombing Iran at a, quote, much higher level and intensity if its leaders don't agree to a deal. But as NPR's Franco Ordonez reports, Trump also says a deal is very possible.
The president stopped a U.S. military operation escorting foreign ships through the Strait of Hormuz to see if negotiators can finalize and sign an agreement. Speaking at the White House, Trump insisted that the U.S. had won the war and that it's now time to, quote, get what we have to get.
We've had very good talks over the last 24 hours, and it's very possible that we'll make a deal.
But he also acknowledged that they don't have a deal yet.
We've had some good talks before, as you know,
right.
And all of a sudden the next day they're like, right. They forgot what happened.
He says there is no deadline for the talks. Franco Ordonez, NPR News.
G7 trade ministers met in Paris today under the shadow of the Iran war. NPR's Eleanor Beardsley reports G7 unity is also being tested by threats from President Trump to raise tariffs on EU-made cars.
Trump claimed Brussels is not complying with a trade deal reached last year in Turnberry, Scotland, but analysts say he likely reacted because of the German chancellor's recent comments that Iran is humiliating the U.S. in the Strait of Hormuz. EU Trade Commissioner Mauro Sefcovic said both sides are trying to lower tensions.
What I think is very important for this moment is that we both clearly concluded that it's important to respect the deal from Turnberry.
The main topics for ministers, how to deal with China's industrial overcapacity, there are differences on how to reduce reliance on China, and securing critical mineral supplies so as not to be held hostage by certain countries. Eleanor Beardsley, NPR News, Paris.
Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick appeared before a House committee investigating sex offender Jeffrey Epstein today. Lawmakers are seeking answers about Lutnick's contact with Epstein after Epstein's 2008 conviction for sexually abusing an underage girl in Florida. Republican House Oversight Chair James Comer says the public will judge whether Lutnick's credibility was damaged or not from statements he made about his contact with Epstein and from information that's come out in the Epstein file.
The only thing that I'd seen that Lutnick did wrong wasn't 100% truthful on the brief visit to the island with his family. He corrected that in his opening statement. And, you know, we'll see. We'll continue our investigation. And if we find that there were any misstatements by Lutnick, it's a felony to lie to Congress and he'll be held accountable?
Lutnick says he's done nothing wrong. The committee says an interview transcript will be released. A late spring snowstorm in Colorado dropped about 2 feet of snow in some mountain communities, and Boulder got about a foot. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
For some Kansas high school kids, math just isn't adding up. That's why this graduate researcher at the University of Kansas is calculating ways to help kids make the grade.
Hi, my name is Natalie Patton, and I'm a second-year doctoral student in the Department of Special Education here at KU. I'm also a graduate research assistant on a project called Math Words, led by Dr. Elizabeth Stevens, and I'm a former high school math teacher here in the state of Kansas.
Having been a high school math teacher, you've seen this problem firsthand.
After 8 years in the high school math classroom, I definitely noticed students struggling with foundational skills. And we know that teachers have reported that students are unprepared for high school level mathematics and continue to experience difficulty in mathematics throughout high school. In fact, 72% of 8th graders and 75% of 12th graders scored below proficient on the most recent National Assessment of Educational Progress in Mathematics assessment.
Are you seeing some methods that are helping kids succeed?
Well, that's really the problem. We don't know a lot about how to boost math performance in high school, because limited research exists. I actually only found 21 studies since the year 2000. And within those studies, we have some recommendations such as practice with feedback, video modeling, virtual manipulatives, strategy instruction, graphic organizers, and goal setting. So it's not about buying a new textbook. It's about implementing these practices.
What are some benefits for Kansas high school kids that do better at math?
Well, what we know is that students who complete Algebra 2 are 3 times more likely to achieve positive post-secondary outcomes. These outcomes may include technical and vocational education, even higher salaries in STEM-related careers.
For more information about graduate research, visit graduate.ku.edu or our website at kansaspublicradio.org. For Research Matters, I'm Steve Kincaid.
Hi, I'm Jake Armbruding. So glad to be listening to music with you. How about some Chopin? His Etude No. 1 is known as the Aeolian Harp. That nickname was courtesy of Robert Schumann. Schumann thought the piece sounded very similar to that particular wind instrument. Here's Murray Pariah to perform it.
Thank you.
Chopin's Etude No. 1, known as the Aeolian Harp, also sometimes known as the Shepherd Boy. The story goes that Chopin told one of his pupils to picture a shepherd boy taking refuge in a grotto to avoid a storm, playing the melody on his flute. That's a very specific image. Here's music from Swedish composer Helena Munktell. She founded the Swedish Society of Composers in the early 1900s, which has nearly 400 members today. Tobias Ringboria, leading the Yavla Symphony Orchestra, a piece called Breaking Waves by Eliana Munktel. Prokofiev's first violin concerto with a side of Bolshevik, coming right up.
Curiosity leads to understanding.
What changed your mind?
It bridges divides.
Because it's not a black and white story, in my opinion, about heroes and villains.
And fosters connection.
The more we can interact with actual human beings, the better understanding we'll have of how truly complex and thoughtful people are.
Curiosity brings you here. This is NPR.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 61 and fair. Wind is from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Wind will be from the west at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. It's 61 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
File this next concerto under What Were You Doing When That Critical World Event Happened? As in, where were you in March 2020 during the first shutdown? In my case, maybe, where were you when the Red Sox won the 2004 World Series? I was performing a little house show in Talkeetna, Alaska, just in case you're from there. I love your town. In this case, the world event was the Russian Revolution of 1917. And what was Sergei Prokofiev doing? He was putting the finishing touches on this, his violin concerto, number one, while the world raged outside.
Thank you.
Thank you.
violinist Gil Shaham making beautiful work of the Violin Concerto No. 1 by Sergei Prokofiev. He was supported by the London Symphony Orchestra, led by André Previn. Here's the Bagatelle No. 1 by Valentin Silvestrov. Spellbinding, I think, might be the word for that. Valentin Silvestrov performing his own Bagatelle No. 1. Oh, my goodness, that was gorgeous. Ukrainian composer, he once said something I found so humble, which is, I do not write new music. My music is a response to and an echo of what already exists. Coming up, Samuel Coleridge Taylor goes Shakespearean.
Public radio is civic infrastructure built for accountability.
The government is actively trying to rewrite this history.
For insight.
That has huge effects here at home, right? What does that look like?
For finding answers.
NPR's investigations team explains what...
For good company.
I keep learning again and again that hope is the right response to the human condition.
We are still here. For your right to be curious, this is NPR.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 58 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. It's 58 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Here's the Othello Suite from Samuel Coleridge Taylor. This was commissioned as incidental music for a 1912 production of Shakespeare's Othello at His Majesty's Theatre in London, which is still there. You can go there today. It's just down from the National Gallery in the Haymarket.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio. KANU in KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH in KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV in KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And online at kansaspublicradio.org.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 58 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the low 40s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 70s. Wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 50s. It's 58 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. With hundreds of vessels still stuck in the Persian Gulf and costs piling up, shipping companies are feeling whipsawed with uncertainty over how and when the Strait of Hormuz might reopen more than 2 months into the Iran war. President Trump initially announced an effort in which the U.S. military would guide ships through the strait, then paused that to allow time for a deal to end the war. As NPR's Aya Batraoui reports, that change came as a surprise to almost everyone.
This was so abrupt that a person briefed on the matter, not authorized to speak to the media, told NPR that even Israel did not know about Trump's intention to end Project Freedom and had actually been preparing for an escalation. So what Trump says is he paused the operation because of what he calls great progress in reaching a final deal with Iran. And there were calls from countries in the region to Trump as well. In a post on X, Pakistan's prime minister, who's mediating between the U.S. and Iran, thanked Trump for pausing this operation. And he said that he and Saudi Arabia's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman, had asked Trump to do just that and move toward reconciliation.
NPR's Aya Batraoui reporting. Millions of people with Medicare will soon be able to get a popular weight loss drug for $50 a month. Jackie Fortier with our partner KFF Health News reports.
Starting July 1st, GLP-1 medications like Wegovy and Zepbound will be available to some Medicare enrollees for weight loss for the first time. The program will cap the monthly cost of the popular drugs at $50. Without insurance, these drugs currently cost hundreds of dollars. To qualify, people need a doctor's note and Medicare Part D. They also need to be clinically overweight, plus have a condition like heart disease or prediabetes. But there are catches. The $50 copay won't count toward the annual out-of-pocket limit. The pilot also expires in December 2027, with no guarantee that the drugs will be covered under traditional Medicare after it ends.
That's Jackie Fortier reporting. The Musk versus Altman trial in Oakland took a personal turn today as the mother of four of Elon Musk's children took the witness stand. From member station KQED, Rachel Myro reports.
Siobhan Zilla served as Musk's eyes and ears on OpenAI's board and as a go-between after Musk left. But she contradicted his testimony, revealing he kept the extent of his pursuit of AI at Tesla secret as he poached top talent from OpenAI. Later testimony shed unflattering light on Sam Altman, too. A former board member explained Altman's five-day ouster in 2023 stemmed from concerns that he wasn't being straight with the board about which AI products had cleared safety review. Altman has yet to testify. That's set for next week. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Myro.
Republicans are rapidly pursuing redistricting efforts across the South following a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that affects some majority black congressional districts. South Carolina, Alabama, Tennessee, and Louisiana are all considering changes this week. This is NPR News. The FDA has announced its first authorization of fruit-flavored e-cigarettes. The decision's a major shift that comes after months of appeals to the Trump White House from the vaping industry. Health groups have argued against it and have long said flavors drive underage vaping in the U.S. As a presidential candidate, Trump promised to save the vaping industry. A luxury passenger train derailed in western Colorado today, damaging rail lines and stopping passenger rail service and freight trains across the state. Colorado Public Radio's Stina Sieg reports.
A luxury sightseeing train called the Canyon Spirit struck a semi-tanker truck, ripping it apart. Colorado State Patrol estimates 6,000 gallons of road oil spilled, requiring a massive cleanup effort. The tanker driver was taken to the hospital with minor injuries. No other injuries have been reported. A Canadian company owns the luxury train, but it uses many of the same train tracks as Amtrak. Amtrak had to temporarily suspend some of its popular California Zephyr route, putting passengers on buses. For NPR News, I'm Stina Sieg in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Kentucky Derby winner Golden Tempo will not run in Maryland's Preakness Stakes next weekend. That means there will be no chance of a Triple Crown winner this year, where a horse wins the Derby, Preakness, and New York's Belmont Stakes. American Pharoah in 2015 and Justify in 2018 are the only horses to sweep all three races over the past four decades. Oil prices sank and stock markets rallied worldwide today. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, investing in creative thinkers and problem solvers who help people, communities, and the planet flourish. More information is available at Hewlett.org.
sisters saxophonist Tia Fuller, pianist Shami Fuller-Royston, doing a Sam Rivers tune, Beatrice, here on Kansas Public Radio's Jazz in the Night. It's from their new album, Together Dynasty, and they call themselves Fuller Sound. We'll hear another from these sisters later this hour. It's Wednesday night, the 9 o'clock hour. We've got a new release spotlight hour for you with an all-too-rare but really fine leader date from bassist Nat Reese and a just-released solo piano concert, the last of Chick solo piano concerts before his health went downhill. It's a farewell performance, and it is really good. I'm Bob McWilliams. Speaking of really good, singer Kurt Elling and the WDR Big Band in the Brass Palace is their new album. It's our KPR Jazz feature album this week. From that one, there was a big pop hit for Joe Jackson back in the glory years of MTV. It's called Steppin' Out.
Color of the lights that shine, electricity so fine. Look and dry your eyes. So tired of all the darkness in our lives, with no more angry words to say can come alive. Jump into the car and drive to the other side. Thank you.
she turned to me and smiled. We'll be there in just a while. Take the music on the dial. We can swing another jump and follow me, babe. Stepping out into the light, into the night. Grooving, stepping out into the light, into the night.
Singing the big hit back in the day for Joe Jackson called Steppin' Out. The new album is In the Brass Palace. It's Kurt Elling on the WDR Big Band, our featured jazz album this week. We're hearing from it every night on Jazz in the Night here on Kansas Public Radio. And here in this new release spotlight hour, we'll have another track from this a little later in the hour. We'll be getting to the newly released solo piano concert by Chick Corea. He recorded before his health took a downward turn. It's a wonderful performance. We'll hear some from that.